Throughout this week, I've been joined by a special guest, a woman who lives and works amongst people with leprosy. Right at the moment, she's taking a break back home in Australia, and as she's come back to this wealthy land, she's discovered that she sees things, well, through a different set of eyes. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and welcome again to the program as we take another look at life from a different perspective. Well, I don't know if you've been able to join us on the program so far this week, but it has been truly, truly amazing as we've been joined each day by our special guest, Alex Jagelman. Alex, together with her husband and children, live and work amongst people affected by leprosy somewhere in Asia, and we won't go exactly where. But the people she ministers to and lives amongst are the poorest of the poor, people affected by this devastating disease. They've been living now there for 14 years. Alex, welcome again today on the program.
Hi, Bernie.
The week's just kind of flown by and it's kind of sad, but this is our last day. Listen, it struck me over the course of this week as we've been chatting that you've been living and working amongst people affected by this disease for 14 years. It's a long time. You've now come back to Australia, which is your home country. You grew up in a fairly privileged household here. I guess you must come back and see things a whole bunch differently.
Certainly, yeah. Your eyes are opened, and
what are some of the things that really strike you as the differences? What are some of the things that you now question in Western culture, having lived in Asia amongst the poorest of the poor?
I think one of the main things would be time. Certainly, where we live, the sense of time is, it's much more fluid. People have time for you. People have time for relationship. People have time to have a cup of tea together. Mm-hmm. And certainly in Australia, in Sydney, I'm finding that the pace of life is just over the top. And that's what everyone doesn't have. That's what is the most precious thing, it seems to be, is time. And there's just so little of it.
For many people, it's not so much money, it's time. They're time poor. So why is that? Tell me.
I think it seems to me as now an outsider coming back in that we just fill our lives, and I wonder if we're filling them because we feel empty or there's a pressure to that our children have to be involved in every sport or opportunity that's available. I don't know, but it seems that it could be that we're just filling an emptiness with stuff through shopping, through activities. And that just eats up our time. I guess if we don't stop, we won't feel the real emptiness that maybe be the reality of our lives.
Mm. So how does that, for instance, impact on families? How is family done differently here compared to the people amongst whom you live?
I think it's hugely different. I think with husbands coming home from late, often being gone much earlier in the morning, maybe before the children are awake, to coming home sometimes after dinner. For us, certainly, where we live, families have three meals a day together, mm-hmm. which is wonderful. Children actually come home from school to have lunch with their families.
Wow.
So I think the meals together, talking around the table, certainly meals in Australia or in Asia are a great way to catch up and to relate well.
I remember hearing on the radio a little while ago that in developed countries, the number of children who have meals with their parents once a day, they're now in the minority. The children tend to eat at different times and don't actually sit down every day with their parents at the table and have a meal, which is a pretty telling statistic, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think it's quite tragic, maybe when there are so few opportunities to communicate. If maybe people are having dinner in front of the television, mm-hmm. There's no communication going on. I think it's quite tragic.
So, okay, you've come back to Australia. You must question some of the things you grew up with now and look at those things differently.
I think, Bernie, I look at things now from a much more eternal perspective. Mm-hmm. Coming back this time, I've just been really struck by the choices that we make today, mm. by the effort that we put in today, can have an impact on our eternity, or certainly on other people's eternities too. The way that I respond and live with my husband, mm-hmm. the way that I parent and love my children, the way that I use my time I really am starting to see that it has a much bigger eternal perspective than I was ever kind of consciously aware of.
Mm. If you hadn't felt this call, what would you be doing now? If you hadn't have gone to Asia and lived amongst people affected with leprosy, I guess you would have continued on in your medical career?
I probably would have continued to work in hospitals. I love working in hospitals, but I think I would have quite easily got sucked into the great Australian dream to buy a house, to have a holiday a year, get a couple of cars and a dog. But I feel like now how privileged I've been to have thrown that opportunity away to actually receive something that for me has been so precious and so valuable.
Let's say there's someone listening who's stuck in a rut, who's peddling hard, who's trying to make a living and make ends meet and earn the money and buy a bigger house and have the second car and all that sort of stuff, and it's just not working for them, it's just not satisfying them. What do you have to say to that person?
I would say at the end of the day, it's not about stuff. Stuff doesn't matter when your kids leave home and they don't want to come and talk with you anymore. They don't want to come for meals. Stuff doesn't matter when there's a coldness between you and your husband or you and your spouse. I think filling our lives with bigger and better ultimately can lead to a lot of dissatisfaction. I think we'll find that I've learned through being in an Asian country that family, that relationships is so important, and it takes time. It takes effort. It takes conscious input to make it work well. It can just happen, but it doesn't happen well. And I think we'll look back as we grow older and maybe regret what we put our value in.
I guess someone in the West, someone who's got a house with a mortgage and two cars in the driveway and a swimming pool out the back, would look at your life and go, well, you kind of live in this genteel poverty, right? You're not particularly asset rich. Gee, you've lost something. You haven't got what I've got. What would you say to them?
I can see from their perspective they may feel that, but I feel like I have gained so much. And again, we're not all called to go to the mission field,
sure,
but I think we are called to have an eternal perspective. I think we are called to have hearts that are filled with the compassion of Christ, to not be satisfied with anything less than all that God has for us. And if we've stuffed our hearts full of stuff, we don't have room for God sometimes.
One of the really difficult things that Jesus said was that if we try and hang on to our lives, we'll lose them.
Mm.
But if we lose our lives for his sake, we'll gain them. And I look at the look on your face and the joy and the satisfaction that you have in your life, and it seems to me that your life personifies that. Your life is a demonstration of that truth, because you've given it up. You've given up what the West has to offer to go and do what Jesus called you. And as you said, not everyone's called to do that. I'm called to sit here in this great little radio studio, right? But you've gone to do that. And it seems to me that if anyone ever wondered, is that true? Is this maxim of if you lose your life, you'll gain it? Is that true? It seems to me that your life says, yes, it is.
Absolutely.
Alex, it's been just fabulous having you this week.
Thanks.
We really just pray that God will continue to bless you and your family and really use you powerfully in these people's lives.
Amen. Thanks, Bernie.
Social media, love it or hate it, it's a powerful reality in the lives of billions of people here in the 21st century. Of course, some terrible things happen in that whole social media world, which is why it's so important to use this medium to bless people for God's glory. So, if you're on Facebook, head across to the Christianity Works page and press the like button. When you do, you'll start seeing some positive and uplifting posts from us in your feed, including free booklet downloads from time to time. But more than that, when you're touched by one of them, you can share them with your friends, becoming something of a social media missionary for the glory of God. Look, we need to be out there sharing the good news of Jesus. Amen? Well, this is one simple, practical and powerful way that you can do that. So, visit the Christianity Works page on Facebook, hit the like button, be encouraged and blessed, and share some of that with your friends too. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again, same time on Monday, with a different perspective.